Time to catch up with some news from the Citizens Advice Bureau, and Myra is here as always. Good morning, firstly, Myra.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay, dokie. This is a big old topic we're going to do today. If anyone wants to ask any questions on this, 952-784-000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email, and you can WhatsApp us if you've got one on your system. Right, purchasing property in Spain. Now, this is something I must confess I've only witnessed as a bystander, but it does seem as if there's a lot of potholes in the road.
Certainly is, and still are, even though they're improving. Things are improving. One thinks things are improving, but the pitfalls are still there.
Yeah, someone's calling straight away, so they've clearly got a major problem because we haven't actually explained any of it yet. Good morning, you're live on TRE. Hello.
Hello, hello. Yes, yes. I got your phone number from a famous drummer on the Costa Blanca.
That's very nice.
And he said you have to because he knows of my problems. So that's why I'm so quick.
I'm impressed. So how can we help you?
Yes, yes. I'm a Dutch national. You're probably here. I've been living in the UK for a while though, so I always listen to English stations here on the Costa Blanca. I bought a house here in 2010. Together with my brother-in-law, and we were promised a cedula, and it never comes. And there's a very nice couple, German couple, and they are trying to get the cedula. And they talk to very nicely here at the Ayuntamiento of Javia, but they're always turned back into the woods. So nothing happens, basically.
What a lovely expression, turned back into the woods. I love that. That's great. I like that. A cedula, what is a cedula?
Well, you're talking about a license of first occupation, aren't you?
Exactly.
Okay. It has different names just to complicate it. Did you buy in the country, in the campo?
No. It is actually the urbanization, official urbanization.
Okay.
The Garaforal at the Mongo.
Okay.
But it's only half done.
And so
the story that we hear is that the municipality, it's like shifting goalposts every time.
Okay, can I just ask you? You say it's half done. You mean half built? You haven't got it yet.
No. I'm not clear enough. No, the half of the houses have been built.
Yes.
The other plots have not been built.
Okay.
So the urbanization is half done. My house was quite old. It has been unsold for a couple of years.
Okay.
I came here in 2010.
Yes.
And like I said, the project developer said, you'll get your cedula in a year. And then after a year, he said that you'll get it next year.
Okay.
And he's been saying that for the last 7 years.
Wow.
Okay. So when you went to the town hall, has anybody showed you a license of, first of all, was there a license to build?
Yes, there was
a license to build.
Yes.
And then they should have got the license for the end of the works, which they'd have put through the Colegio de Arquitectos. Is that available?
Ooh, I'm not sure. I went to a notary.
Yes.
Unlike Holland, a notary has a passive role, not an active role, to check out the legal details.
Well, it has a passive role, but it also is the highest office in the land, and they should have all the documentation. We're going to talk about that. You probably signed. I wondered if you even knew that you didn't have a cedula when you actually bought. Did anybody tell you?
Yes, they told us. The project developer told us. He said that it's just a formality. It will come quickly.
Mm. Right. So in your case, really, you must push the town hall. You must go back to the planning department, and you need to have some documentation on that building. You need to know why it's not able to get the license of first occupation. If it's got the license to build, and then when it was finished, it should have gone the end of build through the College of Architects. Something's not right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're not telling you. They're just telling you tomorrow. That's not good enough.
So you're saying it would be given a license to build, and were that the case and the license was given, then there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't be giving
because then they would have had to present their license. They would have had to apply for the license of the end of the works. It could be the fact that it's all together and they haven't actually finished the works. Very difficult to know without looking at documentation. But in this case, this gentleman has to go to the town hall his lawyer obviously is not in the picture anymore, his conveyancing lawyer, I would have thought, and to insist that they... It's very easy here to just tell you all sorts of things, like the laws have changed and things like that. And that's a good one, to tell you that the law's changed, and when it actually hasn't, it's just things haven't been...
The story that we're hearing is that, that's why I'm calling it shifting goalposts. First they said to the project developer, first you have to make a bridge, then the bridge was done, then you have to renew the sewers, and then the sewers were done, and according to a Spaniard that's living not too far away from here, said this is typical for Spanish behavior. They just don't want to give the money back because they get money. Yeah.
It's possible that they haven't finished the infrastructure, and I mean, that you're now saying a bridge hasn't been built. If there were certain things to be done, the town hall may not be coming forward. It looks like you've got an argument between the developer and the town hall, haven't you? And you bought in good faith, and this is not your problem, and they really need to get together. What you need to know is some facts, not just hearsay. You need the developer, the promoter, and the town hall for you to sit with them and say, look, I don't want to hear any... this and that. I want to hear the status we are at right now. I want to know what you have to do and what the town hall. You can't keep blaming each other.
Yeah. One last question. Is it wise to move together with a number, because there are many people now in the same boat here. And Germans are trying, and they say, oh, we're treated lovely, and it will come, it will come. I said, I don't think so.
No,
it will not come. Oh, yes, yeah, let us do the work.
7 years later, wow.
What was your first name?
Harry,
contact me by the website and we can discuss it further, your particular matter. And we can talk to a planning lawyer at no cost to see what's going on, if they've got some idea.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for your call, Harry. Really appreciate it. I hope you get that sorted with Myra. So a couple of things came up, though, during that, which, of course, are very interesting. So first of all, the dreaded word notary was mentioned, and this is where the title deeds go for signing.
Yes, are drafted.
A reasonably important document.
Yes, very important.
When one is buying a property. Now, let's start back with the lawyer here, because... In the UK, and this is only my experience, I've bought and sold quite a few houses, but it's reasonably straightforward that you go to a lawyer who understands property conveyancing, and that's what they do, as opposed to a divorce lawyer, which is not much use to you, really.
Well, generally, expats will go to a lawyer.
Yeah.
They won't go to a conveyancing lawyer.
Right.
I'm not telling you that if you go to a conveyancing lawyer, you're not going to have problems as well.
Sure. But you lessen the chances of something going wrong.
You lessen the chances.
Because that's what their speciality is.
Especially today, if they're actually... At least you could go against their insurance if they're saying they're conveyancing lawyers and they're not doing their work with due diligence. I'm afraid a lot of lawyers... I'm sorry to say it, and if they're listening, they do not do things with due diligence, whether they're independent, whether they're linked to the real estate. It's really important to get an independent lawyer and to get a conveyancing lawyer.
So you say there is a situation where the lawyer can be linked to the real estate that you're buying?
In-house lawyer.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'm not saying it works in a lot of cases, but one has to think where a lawyer's allegiance lies. Mm. You know, he has to... Lawyers sort of... if they don't get the sale to go through, they're known as romper contrato, break contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to do that. They want the property to sell. Mm. In the old days, it was really awful, and it's still happening today that a lawyer is not doing his work with due diligence.
And just to be really clear, and for people who may not have heard us talking about this in the past, the lawyer is not a gestor, right?
No. Though gestors can do it. You can carry out... Paralegals can do conveyancing.
Yes.
Anybody can actually... There's no law that says anybody can't do conveyancing, so a gestor can as well.
Right.
But whether it be a gestor... If he's a general gestor again, he may not be... up to date with all the regulations, and it's really important. And the notary, as you say.
What about the process involved in Spain then, Myra? So it's different in every country, but let's take the example. So I want to buy your house off you, and you've got your house up for sale at €100,000, and I meet the price, okay? So I put my bid in, and you say, that's absolutely fine. Now, how does it work here? I've heard all kinds of pub talk about once it's been agreed, then you have to pay a deposit, and then if it goes wrong, you get the deposit. How does it work here?
Well, people will, if you want somebody to take the property off the market so you can buy it, And it's not always good to believe the last one, you know, by far, this is the last one on urbanisation. So that was quite common in the boom.
Right.
You know, this is the last one.
Yes.
And you go there and you're living on a building site and they're all empty.
So right, right.
This has happened to somebody I knew who came from the UK and bought the last one.
This is like when you're trying to get a hotel on a website and it says there's only one room left at this price.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Everybody's viewing.
Yeah.
So it's really important.
So is the deposit mandatory?
It can either be a reserve, which can be as little as 6,000, or sometimes they will insist on a deposit.
Right.
That's where banks can be very insistent on a full 10% deposit. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to be very careful because before you even put that reserve, I advise anybody, before you even put a reserve down to take the market off the property, because you don't know what... That's a contract. As soon as you put a reserve, you're entering in a contract because they will tell you in that reserve contract that after a certain amount of time, you will then put the 10%, if you're doing it that way around. Mm-hmm. Contrato de arras is where you put the 10% down, but you've put a reserve and then a certain date you'll put and a certain date you'll go to the notary. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on whether you need a mortgage or anything that could be wrong, you may not meet that date. As long as if the contract also says that if the, should say that if the buyer, if the vendor cannot meet his responsibilities, then you should have the money back and even sometimes double.
And I'm assuming this money sits in a protected account, allegedly.
Not always. That's the problem. So it's a bit of an argument between whether the real estate, your lawyer or their lawyer has. This is the very important time before. This is why I've actually set up something called Conveyancing Spain because it's very much my thing, but I haven't launched it yet.
Yeah.
They'll help people through it. Sort of advise people, if you're thinking of buying, why not go and see a conveyancing lawyer just when the thought's in your mind?
Yeah.
Rather than wait until you find the property that then you're going to buy and then all the problems arise.
Okay, we have another caller, 952-784-1000. Good morning, you're live on TRE. Who's that?
Hi, my name is Don, and my wife bought a property for €200,000, and it was only on her name. We're both residents.
Don, I'm ever sorry to interrupt you. Can you turn the radio down in the background? Because it's very difficult to understand you because we're hearing it coming back in the background. Lovely jubbly. Yeah.
Is that better?
It is wonderful. Please do continue, sir.
Yeah. The property was bought on my wife's name, and now we want to put it on both of our names. It was €200,000, the property.
Okay. Can I just ask you, first of all, why you bought in one name?
Well, I had an insurance. I was hospitalised.
Okay. Okay, you don't have to go in detail.
And when we bought the property at the same time, and the insurance might not have paid, so I thought I'd better put it on my wife's name.
Right. Now, can I also ask, what region? Are you in Andalusia? Are you in Valencia?
No, we're in Andalusia.
Right, so you're very lucky here, because normally, and if it had been quite a few years back, what you'd done is... it's all to do with inheritance tax, isn't it? Are you considering?
Probably all to do with the inheritance. Okay, we're both residents. Now we decide to put it on both of our names. Yeah.
Is there any other reason to put it in both your names?
No, that's the only reason.
That's the only reason. Well, you know that the allowance, first of all, you're married, so you get family allowance, and the allowance in Andalusia is €1 million before you pay anything. €1 million, you're exempt from paying if your property's not worth €1 million.
No, 200,000. So if I want to put it on
exactly.
both of our names,
you're not
now,
going. No, because you're going to pay as if it's a sale. You're going to pay transmission tax at either 8%, 9%, depending. Well, 8%, 200,000. You're going to pay notary fees. You're going to pay registry fees on half on 100,000 anyway. So it's going to be expensive, and you're going to pay a lawyer. So
what would it cost approximately on 100,000? Because it's 200,000.
Well, if you're not, if you're going to if you have a will where you're leaving the property to each other and then to children if they exist, then there's nothing to worry about because your wife is leaving actually the property of 200,000 to you. You're not paying and vice versa. Hang on. Just let me think a minute because if your wife was to pass away first, the property, even if she was, your wife is leaving the property to you. And there's no inheritance tax to pay.
To leave it as it is.
Leave it as it is. If you've got the will that covers you, if you were to go first, there's no problem then, is there? Because you don't own the property. But if your wife has left it, bequeathed it all to you in a will, there's no inheritance tax to pay on that amount. There'd probably be a town hall plus valia, but it'll be a lot less than you're going to pay to actually, what it is purchase half a property.
So just leave it as it is?
Make sure your will's correct, your wife's will is correct, and
we've both got the same will, whatever we've got, we've shared between
us. But of course you won't be leaving a property because you haven't got it.
No.
Yeah, it
all
was...
All right, lovely.
Makes
thank
sense.
You very much.
Hope that helps you, Don. Thank you very much indeed. And of course, after Brexit, that all might change with the inheritance tax. We've talked about this with Spence Clark before, that there is that's tied in with whether you are
the EU
or
but
not.
But it's not going to be like that. Unfortunately, for everybody that thinks it's good to leave the EU, they're not going to actually be penalised.
Interesting.
As they thought. But anyway, that's...
So, let's get back to our chain of command here then. So, when I bought property in the past, you exchange contracts, and that's all splendid. And then at some point, you complete.
Yes.
Does that happen here?
Yes, if
good.
You can complete. Now, a lot of people complete and go away and happy because we're, especially those from Northern Europe and other countries that are not Spain, are used to having a title deed. And that title deed usually tells you everything is okay.
Yes.
Means nothing here as regards legality.
Oh.
Just because you've got a title deed doesn't mean you bought a legal property. It's this gentleman that rang up.
Yeah.
He's bought a property, but it doesn't have a license of first occupation. I'm not saying it's illegal, but when he wants to sell it, the lawyers, good conveyancing lawyers of the purchasers, will want a license of first occupation or the equivalent. Of course, in certain times, especially in the country, licences in certain small villages, licences or towns, licences weren't giving way 80s or pre, you know, so a lot of
which is why you asked whether that gentleman was in the campo or not.
Yes, because campo properties are much more complicated. There are 300,000 illegal just in Andalusia, which the town halls, don't know if people realise, are supposed to be regularising. They can't always legalise them all, and that's doing them what everybody calls an AFO, afuera de ordinación, which is basically meaning it's been built outside the planning regulations,
right.
So it's not a legal property. It can never be legalised, but it can be regularised.
So the title deeds in Northern Europe, as you say, I mean, when I got my title deeds for property, I'm quite happy. That's my title deeds. It's mine. That's it.
So many people contact us. So many people contact us because after they've bought, the problems start.
Wow.
And this is why I think it's really important to have everything in order and understand before you buy or have your conveyancing lawyer that's not going to let this happening.
And so these title deeds, I'm guessing, will be in Spanish.
Yes.
And the last thing you want to do is just sign, just accept it because you can't be bothered to find out what it says.
Your lawyer, your translator, somebody independent, and the notary will read it to you. You won't understand. They'll read it very quickly,
yeah.
And you'll have no idea if you don't understand the legalities. If the notary's going to sign your house purchase, then you're going to expect it to be right. You may be signing a clause saying that you don't know, you accept doesn't have a license of first occupation. You may be signing something that says that the notary has not been given the latest community certificate to see if there's any debt. You could be signing that you're accepting that. It could be a debt on the house. You could be signing that you have no documents at all, no previous electricity, water, EB, which is the rates, and you could be signing a house with all those charges on it. Even though it can say free of charges, you have to be careful.
I might be oversimplifying it, Myra, but surely that a lawyer should be doing all this. A lawyer should be saying, no, we're not agreeing to that because A, B, C, D. That's what you're paid for.
I have to be honest, and some lawyers, some, can't see everybody, and they can take me to court if they want to, will just go through the process and just do the sale and get their money. And,
and then
that same person will contact them again. I often say you're contacting the same lawyer to get you out of this mess that you were put in. We've got somebody who's listening in today, I believe, who posted on our page and he wanted thoughts or opinions, and I didn't think he needed thoughts or opinions from our
Our
lawyers on our page. Sorry, guys.
Yes.
Because he's in a situation which he could stop now without making a mistake. Well, he's found. Actually, his lawyers actually stopped, or they can't go ahead, because he's buying a property in Andalusia. He hasn't told me whether he's put a deposit or reserve. I'm hoping he hasn't, because at this stage is when to say, right, we need a different contract drawn up if you're insisting on a reserve. And he says that the documentation is not correct. I can only gather that it's probably got no... it's not legally built, and it may have to be regularised. And he's asking basically how long this would take, but without providing enough information. It's like saying, how long is a piece of string? What is the problem? Is it just a licence of first occupation, which is not just, that's a lot? Is it because it's built on a zone where it shouldn't have been built, like protected, which very difficult to regularise or even legalise or regularise? So what is... What I want to say to him is to contact me on through the website, because I don't know what the problems are, but there are problems. So the seller might not have known. It could be a lot of things. The meters on the escritura could be different to the nota simple. In other words, it's been built and it hasn't been registered. So there's all sorts of reasons why this property, the documentation is not right. So they've brought in, he says they've brought in a surveyor. They will have brought in an architect, I hope, to put things right. So until we know what it is, when somebody, all he's been told is documentation is not correct.
You see, to me, and again, I'm being probably oversimplifying this, the system is broken then. If you can't buy a property in good faith with a lawyer dealing with the property purchase that you are making, and then have no comeback after that on the person that you trusted to sort all this stuff out for
you.
You
do have a comeback, but it could be a long, drawn-out process.
Sure, but you don't have a house.
We don't want to put people off either, because there are so many people have bought wonderful properties with no problems.
Of course.
But there are too many of these problems popping up to ignore them.
Yes.
And what we're saying is, not that you can't buy in Spain, that you have to have your lawyer do everything with such due diligence.
But why can't you just... assume that they will. I mean, I'm just now thinking back, you know, in my kind of four property purchases in my lifetime, I absolutely trusted that what the lawyer was doing that took him weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks was correct. I'd have been horrified because the end of it, he said, oh, I couldn't be bothered to do that bit of it.
Well, this is how mainly expats come here with the same idea, and that's why they use a lawyer. Yeah. There are some that don't use a lawyer, but then they've, you know, or we've done it before, and or whatever, or we didn't think we needed a lawyer.
I'm guessing here, and again, it's probably a ridiculous question, but I'm guessing the lawyer's got to be, has some qualification in to act in Spain. For example, you couldn't use your lawyer in Manchester to do your Spanish property transaction, right?
No, he'd have to use a lawyer here.
Right.
And he'd have to know the law, and he'd have to... The list of documentation and the requirements for now signing at the notary have become... bigger and bigger from the old days when it was just you only needed to be there and just sign. You didn't need anything. Just make sure there wasn't, you know, tell them there wasn't a debt, that sort of thing.
Yes.
The requirements are quite vast.
So you have to take them in with a wheelbarrow, do you, when you go to the notary?
But if you don't take them in with a wheelbarrow, you then rely on the notary who's going to read you blah, 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 blah. It depends. He's made the date for... You know, of course, if you don't sign on that date, you could lose your deposit. So you arrive at the notary and it's almost like sign. This happens as well when you've taken out the mortgage, and that's when they read you the your mortgage deed, all the clauses in that. That's when you're reading it at the notary. It's all very stressful. And what do you do? Say, I'm not going ahead with this.
Well, yeah.
The mortgage is not what you told me. You've made me take out this insurance, that insurance.
Okay, we're very close to the end, but we'll just take... Oh, no, they're gone now. So does the notary have any responsibility here, or they're just that they're kind of... scot-free
does,
with all of
but
this.
But if it's written into your draft of your title deeds that the notary has not seen this document or that document, that's how the notary can protect himself. He hasn't seen that document that was supposed to be there. So you sign that the notary hasn't... You are responsible. Your lawyer is responsible with you, but you are the one that's going to be responsible because it's your signature on the dotted line. So expectancy of notaries... as well as title deeds, should not be as they are. It's a different system. You can buy safely if you cross all the T's, dot all the I's, everything can be... But there's so many people coming back now who only when they go to sell, as these people probably didn't know they couldn't sell their property. The document, you know, they put it on the market. They haven't put it thinking, well, we'll just see if somebody will buy this mess. They haven't realised that their documentation is not in order. Every now and again, I say to people, go and get a notice simply and check it with your deeds and see if they're both the same.
Yeah.
Because you'll often find that the deeds say one thing and your notice simple. I mean, I'm helping a friend at the moment. The notice simple.
Sounds like nota blooming complicatedly.
Nota complicated has got the old, as one of the bordering neighbours, has got the, not the last, not the actual, the owner, but the person before that, when they bought legally next door. So why have they got that in?
We haven't covered everything we wanted to do, so maybe we'll roll this forward to another show in a couple of weeks' time. But if anybody wants to hear any of that again, Myra always takes the show. I give a recording of the show, and that always goes on the CAB website. So if you missed any of it, want to kind of refresh what Myra said, then it'll always be there. Let's do that then. Let's maybe carry this on, because it's not something you can cover in 20 minutes. I'm sure that other people have got other things that they want to hear the answers to. Hokey dokey. Well, I can see why there's so many stressed people in Spanish bars now, Myra. That makes a lot of sense. They're all house purchases.
Don't be put off. Just do it correctly.
Thank you, as always. If you want to find out more, go to the Citizens Advice Bureau Spain. If you just Google that, you'll find their rather splendid website. And there's also a Facebook page where much interesting chat goes on.